Well, good afternoon, everyone. I have a question for you today. How spiritual are you? Would you say you're quite spiritual? Maybe only somewhat spiritual? Maybe not nearly enough? What is true spirituality? What constitutes the evidence of a truly spiritual mind? Some worry that they aren't spiritual enough. Others say they don't think they know how to be spiritual. I've even heard some say they find the first 6 days of the week easier than the Sabbath day because they don't have to be quite as spiritual on those days. That they feel on the Sabbath, they should work harder to be spiritual. But they'll say they find it so hard to do so. What must they think it means to be spiritual? There are a number of things believed by many in the religious world to be, well, they're thought to be sure signs of spirituality. In some cases, this is a form of outward expression, the type of language people use, their speech liberally sprinkled with biblical or religious or spiritual sounding terms and phrases. It may be the emotion that they display along with such speech in religious services. Another thought to be another sure sign of spirituality is knowledge of Scripture. Some people make it a point to really be boned up doctrinally, to really know what the Bible says, and they love to argue and contend. They especially enjoy trying to back a minister into the corner with their knowledge of the Bible. Others think that people talking a lot about faith is a sign of spirituality. The trouble is it's usually a kind of faith, as James says, a faith without works. They talk a lot about faith, but they don't really want to talk much about repentance, real and genuine submission and yieldedness to God and His will and His law. Another sign of spirituality, or that is thought to be a sign of spirituality, is a rigid standard of righteousness. People of this kind tend to be very, very exacting. They are very, very meticulous in keeping the strict letter of the law, oftentimes ending up doing what they can to keep God's commandments and laws on their own strength. And then becoming self-righteous about it, becoming very critical and judgmental of other people who don't come up to their standard of righteousness. Maybe we need clearer understanding. Because I tell you these points, these examples I just gave you of what many people think are evidences of spirituality are all counterfeits. So let's let God show us from the Bible what it really means to be spiritually minded. To find out what it means to be spiritual, that is to have a spiritual mind or a mind that is spiritually oriented, where should we look? To whom should we go? Well, the answer to this question is probably obvious to most people sitting here in this room. Most of us would agree that there can be no greater example of true spirituality than our own Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the most spiritually minded individual who has ever lived. And we are to allow His spiritual mind to come into us and empower us. It says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we're also told by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, or by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So if we're converted Christians, and Christ lives in us, and we'll be growing in His mindset, His frame of mind, ultimately to the point where we can say, along with the Apostle Paul, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. But how does he live in us? How do we acquire his spiritual mind? Turn with me, please, to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, Jesus was speaking here with his disciples in that upper room on the eve of his crucifixion. And he was telling them that he was going to be going away. He would be crucified the following day and ultimately return to heaven, and he would not be with them there in person. But in verse 18, he said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In verse 23, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, he's speaking of one of the disciples, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Verse 20, he said, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You see, he said these things in context of what he was telling them about the Holy Spirit. Notice in verses 16 and 17, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he, or it, may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or it nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Just in case you're not sure that he's speaking of the Holy Spirit here when he uses the word helper, in Greek it's the word parakletos, he equates it down in verse 26 with the Holy Spirit. The helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the way Jesus Christ lives in us is by means of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul says essentially the same thing here, but in different words. In Romans 8, and beginning in verses 9 and 10, says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He's not Christ. He's not a Christian, in other words. We must have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us to be true Christians. And if Christ is in you, the body is as good as dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, some may wonder, what do you mean you are not in the flesh? Aren't we still walking around with flesh and blood bodies? He's speaking here a little bit figuratively. He's talking about our motivation. We can either be motivated by our fleshly passions, or we can be motivated and guided by God's Spirit, a concern for the spiritual issues and values of life. He makes this a bit clearer in verses 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit, the things of God, the things this book teaches us about. So it's God's Spirit dwelling in us that makes us spiritual, not the things I mentioned earlier. Our means of expression, our emotions, our knowledge of Scripture, or our supposed faith, or any such thing. It's the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Now, God's Spirit in us, over the course of time, produces certain fruit. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them, not by the sounds they make. Turn with me, please, to Galatians 5. Most of you probably know where I'm going. But this is something we can't hear too often, and it's something we should read and meditate on frequently. In chapter 5 of Galatians, verses 22 and 23, he describes the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Back in verse 16, he had been talking about walking in the Spirit, the same thing he was speaking of in Romans 8, setting your mind and your heart on the things of the Spirit and pursuing those things. Then in verse 22, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, first and foremost. Also joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness or meekness, and self-control. All of these are different forms of that first one, love. Notice he doesn't mention the fruits of the Spirit. We often refer to them as the fruits of the Spirit. He simply calls it the fruit of the Spirit. These things, expressed in living character, are what determine true spirituality. These things are the expression of the love of God, which, as we're told in Romans 5:5, is shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and thus the Holy Spirit in us is simply God's law in action in our lives. For love is the fulfilling of the law. And that alone is true Christian spirituality. Now in connection with this, let's see what are not signs of spirituality. Remember how I said at the beginning, many think of certain things as evidences of a spiritual mind? Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 13. The first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13 describe things that some people think of as sure signs of spirituality, but he says, in fact, they are not. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, no matter how I sound, no matter what comes from my mouth, if I have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, remember we mentioned one of the things is the knowledge of Scripture. He says, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but if I have not love, then I am nothing. These things alone do not constitute evidence of spirituality. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and do whatever else I think lives up to someone's standard of righteousness, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Rigid adherence to someone else's standard of righteousness, the world's concept of faith, knowledge of Scripture, our way of expressing ourselves with spiritual sounding words and phrases, none of these constitutes evidence of real, true spiritual mindedness. Verses 4 through 8, however, tell us what is a sign of true spiritual mindedness. Love, the love of God, godly love, suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil or keeps no running list of wrongs, does not rejoice in iniquity but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I'd like to give you a challenge. This is one I heard many years ago, and it's a good one. Give yourself a test. Sometime, maybe later today, or whenever you have a quiet moment, sit down and very slowly and meditatively read verses 4 through 8. Or wherever you see the word love, substitute your name. That will bring it down from the idealistic and conceptual level to the personal level. And then our original question that I asked in the beginning can better be answered. How spiritual are you? To summarize then, to be truly spiritual, to be spiritually minded, is to have the mind of Christ, which is only possible when we have God's Spirit dwelling in us and imparting to us the love of God, the love that fulfills God's law, and the love that imparts to us the qualities and attributes of the mind of Jesus Christ. So let's all seek more genuine spiritual mindedness.